Talk Radio.
They wait to plead their case, unknown cast aside. I'd love to see their face, can we spare the light? Are we afraid to see them, prisoners of mystery? Beautiful minds trapped inside, we can spare the light. Let shine on. So dark and ugly spot, if you don't know about. You gotta let us play, let us speak your name, let us speak up to the cloud. Hey, no freedom, hey, breathe, no freedom, no line to speak your title, don't just let us ride. Let us shine, let us shine.
I wonder if we had a Center for Missing and Exploited Children of Color, if it'll make any difference. You know, we have, or there is, almost a quarter of a million missing children of color a year. And they don't seem to get the attention or the necessary services, media, help, coverage, or dedication as children of non-color. Unfortunately, sometimes it is skin deep. It's a fact. You know, and today, I want to zoom in, and it's kind of unfortunate that, you know, it's looked at this way to say I want to zoom in on two missing black children. But, you know, every child matters. I want to point that out first and foremost. And it's a shame that they're not given as much precedent and concern and care as, you know, and resources put into finding our children that come up missing on a daily basis, as, you know, the government has money to go find people in other continents and countries and, you know, find them in holes and in tunnels and, you know, special forces that can scout out these individuals. You know, this is a whole different world, quote unquote. They're finding other people, and here it is, this continent of North America. No one seems to be able to find these children that come up missing on a daily basis, and that's unfortunate, because for this country to have as many resources and so-called dedication as it claims, and giving funds and money to other countries to take care of others, and we lack to take care of our own, that's a darn shame. You know, and it doesn't say a lot about this country as it relates to our children. Right now, I want to do the show in relation to two black children, both named Jesse. Now, anybody that's come to my show or know of me or what have you know that one of the Jessies is my nephew. And I'm in the process of uploading a YouTube video. And in this video, we finally got some transcripts and different things of what was going on. And, you know, these transcripts clearly will show my sister's child stolen. She has nowhere, have no knowledge of where her son is. I just want to read a little bit of excerpts of what I'm going to be uploading and different things of that nature. And I'm going to compare and contrast the two Jessies that are missing. One violently taken, and violently, meaning his arm was broke, his elbow was broke. I'm even going to upload a medical document, because we have a situation where when the police broke my nephew's bones, you know, they try to cover it up, but you'll see a medical document that's going to be uploaded as well. But I just want to read a little excerpt before I go into this. This is a transcript. You'll see when I upload them, on the top, I fold the transcript where you see it says the date of this transcript and what it was about. And I underline the important parts you need to zoom in on. And this one is off of a transcript called Return of Competency Examination, bail hearing, May 5th, 2009. And one of the excerpts says, the lawyer is saying, I'm zooming in on it. She says, May 5th, 2009. She says, the lawyer says, and frankly, I don't think the state has any idea where this child is. And he could very well be with relatives in Africa, even if Matthew was here. Matthew's a rapist. A Ugandan rapist, father of my sister. And my sister's son, Jesse Moses Peter Mayo Griffin, violently taken out her arms, stolen from her on September 26, 2008. You know, and these documents that I'm going to be uploading, you know, in my YouTube video, you know, you'll be able to read them, zoom in on them, the medical paper, a number of different things. You'll be able to contrast what's going on, because we also have, and I say we because, unfortunately, we don't look as in a collective effort, but it takes a collective effort for us to get something resolved in a justifiable manner. You know, collectively, we all should be concerned about the children that are missing, you know, and we all should care. Something's going on in this country with our children, you know. And as black people, really, we should really be embarrassed of ourselves that we wait on other people to bring attention to a cause. And we raise our hand like we're waiting to be called on. With all the social media, social advancement, a number of different things, we still lack the power, you know. You have people in authority, but the power is supposed to be with the people. There's a little girl named Jessie Shockley who suddenly disappeared. She's also 5 years old. My nephew is now 5 years old. You know, and her disappearance was under a set of circumstances that are questionable, just like the set of circumstances with my nephew. Her disappearance, she's from a family that's been accused of abuse. You know, the father, and I'm going to assume she was created out of consent, unlike the situation with my nephew, Jesse, but her father is incarcerated. He's a registered sex offender. My nephew's father is an unregistered sex offender. And I use the word father loosely, you know. Her mother, Jessie, the girl's mother, has a long history of child abuse. Now, these things should not shadow the fact that the child is missing and should be brought home, you know, and it needs to be found. But bringing these things up relates to the fact, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, people aren't looking at people they should be looking at. The circumstances are very questionable. How she suddenly disappeared, you know, the environment she's in, and it's nonchalant to the media, so to speak. Now, because it's going viral, the media will talk about it to a certain degree, but as a people, and I'm saying black people, color people, people who care, point blank, period, you know, we only get the spark or the flame when they say something, and then the spark and flame dies out. And some people, quite frankly, from my experience, only want to get involved because they're nosy, not because they really have good intentions or because they care. They just want to know, okay, I know this, well, I don't know that, and they're content with it. Those who truly care, you know, like Occupy Wall Street, occupy this situation. Be adamant about it. This doesn't happen with us. Just as my nephew, you know, Jesse, now, he made news, but the fact of the matter is you have people involved in high places who have money under the table who purposely stole my nephew. You have crooked judges involved, corrupt police, and the media knows about this thing. Now, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel gives all these Pulitzer Awards. They wouldn't dare write a story about this because it exposes things that would shock and awe the imagination. And we wonder why we don't get the media attention. We have black media. We have this newspaper from Farrakhan. You have black press. You have like social media. Sometimes people of your color are really not your kind. So what do you do? You know, what can we do for these children? What can be done as it relates to the children? Where are these children? Why is it that these children can disappear with all the resources that this country has? There's no, you know, there's no alerts like in the name of children of color. Amber Alert wasn't about Amber in a black Amber. It was about Amber, the other Amber, you know, and it's a shame. And we should play the race card because the race card is on the table. You know, it's a tool. It's a mechanism that's being used in an adverse way against our children, against our adults, against us in society as a whole. And we don't seem to disengage in that at all. We buy into it. Then that takes us to look at the fact of the matter, girls seem to have more attention missing than the boys. How many males we have missing that they report? How many young boys get attention about missing, exploited children? It's a sad and a sick situation. And, I mean, you know, until we do something about it or until it hits home, you know, I mean, I'm just at awe. I'm just at awe that Jesse Shockley, the little girl, that those who seem to act as if they care, I noticed people tweet about it, they'll write about it, but where are the call centers at? You know, the way other people put them up and different things like that. Where is the government? Where is the intervention that other children receive on a daily basis? Why aren't we utilizing resources the way we would go in and save people and set up shop and do things until the situation is rectified and, you know, have resources available for this? This is deplorable. It really is. And when I do my YouTube video and have it upload, I'm going to have some comparison and contrasts of what's going on because, you know, a lot of people want to talk about the family structure or the lack of the family structure and the dysfunction within Jesse Shockley's family, and at the same time, that has no bearing on the fact that she's missing unless that is being looked at as to why and how and who may or may not have her. You know, because from my experience, I know a lot of things and a lot of gossip. You know, a lot of information gets out there and it's misinformation or purposely misinformation is misleading. You know, so I like to sit back now and analyze these things because, as I say, personal experience, those were things that were personally put out or purposely put out in a situation with my nephew to throw off emotions of the people, you know, as it relates to my nephew. And, you know, now we have these myriads of transcripts and things that people can read for themselves and see what's going on. This medical paper relating to what this doctor wrote about my nephew. You know, it's a sick situation that's going on in this country relating to our children, and no one seems to really care unless it's a hype, you know, a hype about the children. No, but with Jesse Shockley, there are some shocking things that took place surrounding her disappearance. And with my nephew Jesse, it's obvious and evident that he was stolen and without the consent of my sister. And when you read these transcripts, you'll see some things such as, again, this lawyer says, I'll read an excerpt of that. And in that case, things were not done properly. And when I look at the order that was to change custody without trial, without social services being brought in, without any kind of other evaluation of either parent, it was bizarre that Judge Gooley just in one fell swoop signed it, and that was that. Custody was changed. It was an illegal proceeding. Nothing happened. There was no custody hearing. There are fake orders going around, and that wasn't. And then that was in May 14, 2007. You know, when all that happened, something fraudulent took place, and then a year or so later, you know, my sister, she spent almost 3 years in prison or in jail, fighting for her son. You know, and I was looking at Jessie Shockley's mother, who spent time in prison, I believe, or jail for child abuse. You know, just the opposites of this, but still the seriousness of this, and just the question remains about why the media hasn't shown attention for Jessie Shockley, and why have they not been as concerned as they should have been with Jesse Griffin, you know, and there's reasons behind it all, you know, and the police, the same thing with the police was a little different because the police played a role in actually stealing my nephew, but the police did not act, from what I'm understanding, they did not really act as it relates to Jesse Shockley, and looked at the mother's background, which to me is obsolete. A person's background doesn't take as much precedent as you getting the resources together to find this child. And again, like I said, you know, they're not even 1% of the children that are missing. You know, which is unfortunate. And I just really want to stress the fact that, like, all children, no matter what color, what have you, deserve to have attention drawn on them when they're missing and what have you. Well, there's a neglect as it relates to, you know, children of color. You know, a neglect. And these children of color, you know, they don't really see the light of television. They don't see their faces plastered on the TV or a number of different things, or things named after them because of something that happened in their lives. You may happen to stumble in Walmart and see pictures of missing children, you know, and see a little black child or see a few black children. We don't really know. So when we don't have the benefit of media or social networks to see different things that have children, the child next door could be the person that's missing. The child on the bus could be the person that's missing. You know, but we wouldn't know that because we don't have our mechanism together. We don't have it together. You know, and obviously it's a color thing because physically speaking, our children do not get the mainstream media attention that they deserve. They don't get the spotlight. You know, race matters. And Jessie Shockley, grandmother, is out here pleading for attention, just like I was out here and still am and still will always be until justice is served for my nephew, Jesse, pleading for help for my nephew. And then people wonder, well, where are other people? Well, some people are distraught. Some people, as the mothers, are the ones who carried these children for 9 months and went through what they went through, you know. And we don't know that pain, you know. I'll read another excerpt, you know, that's going to be uploaded. My sister says, you're not living the way I'm living. You don't understand what's going on back here in this jail. And then the judge, trying to coerce my sister into a guilty plea, says, would you like to get out of jail? Your Honor, would you like to get out of jail? I asked. I want justice, Your Honor. Is my son alive, Your Honor? Do you know? And he has the audacity to say, I think we need another psychological evaluation.
You'll see transcript where she goes into it about the rape, about abuse. Why in the world? She's questioning, how can you all give my child to a man who raped me? And I have the medical records, and I have the reports, and I have this, and I have that. And what's going on? And he will not answer the question. You know, all they want to do is get a guilty plea for her, because we found out that while she was in jail, this rapist went and got a passport in the name of the baby, and a fictitious name, and the baby may very well not be in this country. And my sister had 4 mental competency evaluations, and all 4 said she was competent. All 4 noted the rape, talked about that, and you'll see in the transcripts, even one of the psychologists said she was being railroaded. And again, and she says, I'm a victim of rape. But I keep being the they cut it off, just like I am, like I'm the criminal here. I have medical records, doctor statements. What I got, ma'am, is an inability, is what the court said. She says, no, Your Honor, because I'm in here for one charge. This charge cannot change. How the DA, you know, she's going to, like, the DA, my son should be testifying. Then she goes and saying that under the law, Wisconsin, United States Supreme Court, the paternity case are civil. Never was this a custody case. They brought her in a paternity case knowing she was assaulted. They wanted to get money. He tells her, I don't believe we can have a rational understanding here. And, you know, it goes on. Like I said, I'm uploading things, but our children are being stolen, disappeared, taken, abused, you know, and, you know, pain has made me change. And I say that because watching other people's pain, enduring pain, just to look at somebody else's pain, it changes your outlook on life. It changes a number of different things. And to even imagine the pain these children can be going through as it relates, you know, what do we do? No one has an answer, you know. We all can talk about it. No, but what is there to do about that? And I just, you know, I'm going to be trying to do the best I can. And hopefully we all can do something about this. And remember, people in authority aren't the people in power. The authority is temporary and the people in certain positions. But the power, it lies with the people. You know, it lies with the people. And if we act like we're powerless, then what does that mean for the results of the children? We're failing our children. And it's just a shame to see it. You know, it's a shame to see this stuff over and over and adults, you know. It's bad. All of it. But I hope that in conclusion that Jessie Shockley, more attention can be brought to her. I hope that we, when I say we, people of color, you know, we always feel like we need somebody to hold our hand. We can't, you know, walk without somebody pushing us along or what have you. Oh, we learn. We wake up, you know, and I don't think we need to be mad when we see other people taking care of their own. They should, you know, and it's an embarrassment when we lack to do it. It really is. It's an embarrassment. We should be ashamed of failing our children. Really, we really should be ashamed of failing our children. And the adults that don't want to do nothing, that can't do nothing, why don't you step aside? It's a shame that we have all the chiefs and not enough Indians, so to speak. And I pray to God that there's justice for my nephew, Jesse, and that he can be paid. We don't know if he's dead or alive. But whether the cameras are rolling or not, it doesn't stop our fight. I'm sure it's not going to stop Jesse Shockley's family fight.
Oh, Thank you.